Hello, everybody. This is Jimmy, and this is episode 48 of the Horrific Podcast. A very, very somber one, man. As right now, if you don't know by now, you have to be living under a rock in the horror industry to not know that the man who gave us Scream, and more predominantly than that, gave us Freddy Krueger in the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise, Mr. Wes Craven, has passed away of brain cancer. He passed away last night. He was born 1939, and he passed away August 30th, 2015. To quote Mr. John Carpenter, "My friend Wes has left us too soon. He was truly an old school director, and I had a great time directing him. I am really, really going to miss him." Mr. Craven, thank you for the nightmares, man. To honor Wes Craven in our own way, we are playing the, as you can tell, the theme songs from Scream, from Nightmare on Elm Street in the background today. Just a tough loss in the horror industry. You know, every loss is tough. There is no, you know, right or wrong way to, you know, no matter how, you know, small role, you know, everybody is important. But you know, Wes Craven, he was a big one, man. He was definitely on my Mount Rushmore of horror. He was taken too soon. So rest in peace, Mr. Craven. Getting into the news, we didn't have a podcast last week, largely because of doing work on Door to Door, doing some costuming and some doing some other things, and so right now we have a whole lot of news to get into. We have Mr. Brian Collins from the website A Horror Movie a Day to come the interview today, and yeah, but a whole lot of news, man, and like I said, two good trailers to play you, and a good interview with Mr. Brian Collins. Details about Lady Gaga's role on American Horror Story has become more predominant over the past few days. Pictures have been you know, released, and now we know that in regards to the Gaga character, after dealing with H.H. Holmes and his murder house, the show shifts to present day, where Lady Gaga, the hotel is acquired by Gaga's Countess character, described as a glamorous socialite who attends art openings and fashion shows and maintains her looks not from a steady diet of kale, but from imbibing human blood. While it sounds as if Gaga is playing a bloodsucker, director Murphy doesn't like to call it vampirism. I prefer the term ancient blood virus. Says her affliction is really a form of hemophilia. In a way, the Countess also is insatiable when it comes to love and sex. So kind of fits right up Lady Gaga's alley for sure there. It comes out on October 14th. The Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse comes out later this in a couple months, and we just saw the poster art get released, a pretty cool one. Two scout sock legs burnt all up, and it's directed by Christopher Landon, and three scouts and lifelong friends join forces with one badass cocktail waitress to become the world's most unlikely team of heroes. When their peaceful town is ravaged by a zombie invasion, they'll fight for the badge of a lifetime, put their scouting skill to the test. That looks cool, looks funny. Looks, yeah, you know, looks, like it will be a fun one to watch. A fun one to read. Psycho Sanitarium. This is a book by Chet Williamson, and it is going to tell the tale. It is a novel that's going to tell the tale between, Psycho 2 and 3, and it's going to deal exclusively with Norman at the sanitarium, if you couldn't guess by the title. I like this. I like Bates Motel, the story, you know, before he goes completely crazy. I like all of that, man. So, you know, very cool. I will definitely be reading that. And now we're going to pause the music and play you the first trailer of the week, which may have actually already been played on this show before, I don't know, but this is the trailer, you're going to hear the audio at least for it, of Ash versus the Evil Dead. It debuts on Halloween. I cannot freaking wait. Everything that is shown for it, it just makes it better and better, man. I can't wait for this show. Here's the trailer. The audio, at least, you can always go to YouTube and look it up too, of Ash vs. the Evil Dead.
When I was a kid, he would say, evil is always waiting in the shadows, and only one man would rise to stand against it.
There must be some spell I can say to undo this BS once and for all. Well, that sucked pretty hard. Yo, Granny. Let's go. If we get this done quick enough, we might have time to stop for churros. That's not a racist thing, Pablo. That's just a great dessert.
You know I'm not Mexican, right?
That's the spirit.
Oh, man, there's another line on there that he says that I guess we missed. Or it was on another trailer, but it's something along the lines of, first I gotta start doing some cardio because my heart is hammering like a jackhammer. Nobody can do it like Bruce Campbell can, and I'm excited to see him back, for sure. Speaking of back, get ready to go to hell and back in the outrageous R-rated animated comedy from the animation studio that brought you Robot Chicken, Trip Tank, and BoJack Horseman. Three friends embark on a wayward journey into the deepest, darkest depths of hell to rescue one of their own while navigating their escape. They provoke a slew of misfit demons, super sexy angel, infamous geek legends, and the devil himself. Hell has never been hotter. This is a stop animated animation thing. I posted a link to the trailer. For whatever reason, it wasn't cooperating. So, you know, oh well, I guess. But it looks funny. It looks really funny, actually. And I'm excited for this one as well. Comes out this October. Big numbers for The Walking Dead. Of course, the debut episode score 10.1 million. Live same-day viewers becoming the number one series premiere in cable television history, breaking its Big Brother's record with The Walking Dead. Fear the Walking Dead is a very different feeling show, man. It takes place on the West Coast in Los Angeles, but it definitely feels different because it deals with a drug addiction type angle. It feels dirtier. It definitely feels dirtier. But it is very, very, very good. It's a six episode thing. Better Call Saul was at number two for premiere, and then The Walking Dead was down at number five, I guess. But this one, it's a six-episode first season. They've already confirmed season two will be a 15-episode second season, along with a special 30-minute spinoff with the zombie outbreak on a plane. That'll be next season. Chris Hemsworth, there's been some talk about Chris Hemsworth and his thoughts on the Ghostbusters, and he's on it. Well, there's been some pictures of him on set riding a motorcycle for the new Ghostbusters. So if that interests you, Chris Hemsworth, there is a picture of him on the set. Dante Inferno film is finally happening. Warner Brothers Studios has bought the rights to Dante's Inferno. That will be taking place in a time that it's yet to be determined, but it will be focused on the love story inside the epic poem to see Dante traveling through the nine layers of hell to save his love. And with that, we will pause the music again to bring you the second trailer. This one, I'm very excited for, definitely the most excited, for this one, this film coming out on November 25th, starring James McElroy and Daniel Radcliffe. Victor Frankenstein tells really the story of Frankenstein and Igor, their relationship before, during, after the creation of the monster. So enjoy the audio to this trailer.
Hey there, I'm Daniel Radcliffe.
And I am James McAvoy.
Oh, you up! Hello, I'm James McAvoy.
And I'm Dan Radcliffe.
I play Dr. Victor Frankenstein.
And I play Igor in the new film, Victor Frankenstein.
A film we're very proud of.
Very, very proud of. It is a very new twist on a kind of on legendary tale.
And it's out November 25th.
Let's have a look at the trailer.
Igor,
you and I shall be at the very heart of a scientific enterprise that will change the world.
We shall create a life out of death.
It's alive.
Do you realize how significant this is?
Oh, I have an inkling.
I'm Detective Inspector Turpin. I'm here to investigate missing body parts.
Not sure what you mean, sir.
Are you not afraid to challenge the natural order, Mr. Frankenstein?
Look, and it's Frankenstein.
We shall create a man after our own image.
Questions?
You're welcome.
I think it is time
you met our monster.
Victor, don't!
Full charge!
Well, that's rather obvious.
You have the chance to be part of something.
Of what?
Being electrocuted?
Chased by monsters? And hunted by the police?
Well, if you're going to concentrate on the dark side...
Be careful, Mr. Frankenstein. You toy with wrathful forces.
I cannot argue with that.
So that looks very good, and I'm not even going to play some music right now. I'm going to go straight in to our interview with Brian Collins from A Horror Movie a Day. Let him talk to you guys about his website and about his upcoming book. Both are very cool. The guy started with reviewing A Horror Movie a Day, and it slowed down after he had his kid, but it is a very... very fun website, so go check it out, A Horror Movie a Day, and listen to our thing here with Brian Collins. Now for the interview, he has a very cool website called Horror Movie a Day. Mr. Brian Collins, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. You know, your concept for your website is cool. And watch a horror movie a day, review it, give your thoughts about it. You know, so basically you just started it, I'm assuming, as just a horror fan, and then it kind of snowballed into popularity. Is that how you started the whole thing up?
Yeah, at first it was just something that I was doing, like, on my own. I was just watching. I wasn't writing anything. Just to kind of see if I could do it. And then... I can't remember exactly. I think it was about a month into that I started writing the reviews, and I started the blog up and posted out what I had and just kept updating it from there.
What was the when you started actually keeping count of this, what was the your go-to to kick the whole thing off? What was your first one?
The first movie?
Yeah.
It wasn't anything special. It was Return to Horror High. It was the 1987 sort of slasher movie that George Clooney actually had a little brief role in, one of his first roles.
Nice.
Yeah, wasn't anything particularly great. That was kind of fitting because it turned out to be a lot of movies were exactly like that one. They're just sort of, okay, that's fine. You know, you forget all about it later.
What, you know, we're doing something like this, and, you know, I've seen, you know, on your website, it is obviously, you know, slowed down for, you know, reasons, life, everything else. There's years like 2012 that you have more than one movie a day. You got like in the 400s and stuff like that. And, you know, what is your favorite type of horror film? What do you you know, prefer to do to watch?
Mostly I like slashers. That was always like any slasher I found, I would definitely make sure to, like, you know, put at the top of my queue on Netflix or whatever. I know they're not the exactly high art, but I just kind of, you know, I've always just sort of gravitated toward the basic, you know, 8 or 9 kids go to, you know, the woods, or, you know, they're at their prom or whatever it may be, and some guy kills them one by one. And particularly if it's a whodunit type, I like it, you know, even more. I mean, I like still Halloween, Friday the 13th, and all that stuff. But, you know, like stuff like Mad Bloody Valentine, or, you know, The Prowler,
Scream.
Scream, yeah, obviously, perfect example. So stuff like that, you know, it's just kind of fun to try to figure out, you know, if I can figure it out before the movie will reveal it.
Do you, and with that, the next one obviously would be like, who's your fave? Do you like, you know, Michael, Jason, you know, Ghostface, or, you know, like,
yeah.
Who?
Well, I mean, I know the original Halloween's my favorite movie of all time, so I guess the default answer would be Michael, but, I mean, there are so many, there are movies in the series I just don't like at all. So, you know, I think overall I like more of the Jason movies than I dislike them. I think there's only like 3 of those that I don't like at all, whereas there's like, I think, 4 Halloweens. So yeah, so it's a tie between those two guys, I guess. And I never really get into Freddy much. I mean, I like them, they're fine, I own them, but I never pull them off the shelf as much as I do the other two big series.
Who wins in a fight, Michael or Jason?
What's that?
I said, who wins in a fight, Michael Myers or Jason Voorhees?
Probably Jason. he seems a little more resilient.
Yeah, he's got the whole go chill in the woods for a year or two and then come back better than ever type of thing working for him. But what do you think of the current horror films that are being released in major motion versus the independent scene? Like, I saw that the latest one that I saw, you just went and saw Sinister 2. What did you think of that?
I was kind of disappointed with Sinister 2. I really loved the original. And I really liked the other movie that, the Sinister 2, had a different director than the first one. But the guy that, Kieran Foy, he made a really cool movie called Citadel. Mm-hmm. So I was stoked that he was going to be doing Sinister 2, but I don't know, it didn't really work for me. It was just kind of, it wasn't like a terrible movie or anything, but it failed to sort of recapture what I really liked about the first. That's just one of the many millions of, Blumhouse movies that are coming along. They seem to be, behind just about every horror movie that comes out in theaters these days.
Yeah, they're definitely...
They're technically independent films, but at the same time, they kind of feel like studio because they're so, ubiquitous, and, I don't know. So, mostly, I think, as is almost always the case, you're going to find the better stuff on either independent or in the foreign, markets. Most of the horror movies of late that I've really liked, either from overseas or independent. I can't remember the last studio one I really enjoyed.
Right now for 2015, what would be your top three in the year 2015 right now?
Oh, jeez. It Follows. It hasn't been a great year. I just hope it doesn't end up, but I actually like Lazarus Effect a lot. That was a pretty fun movie. I hope at the end of the year I see at least three movies that are better than that,
Yeah.
I mean, same thing with It Follows, really. I mean, I liked It Follows, but I didn't think it was like a masterpiece like a lot of people did. And, again, it's like, okay, that's good, but I don't want to have to ultimately say that this is by default my favorite horror movie of the year. I want something that kind of blew me away more. But, now we're coming up on festival season, so between Fantastic Fest and Scream Fest and Beyond Fest, Shriek Fest, I'm hoping that, I see something really good, even if it's not going to be, released in theaters until next year. Crimson Peak, I would assume, would probably be up there.
Yeah, Crimson Peak looks really, really good. Victor Frankenstein looks pretty cool. Have you gotten a chance to see Clown yet? Have you seen that one?
Nah.
That one...
Actually, I really like Green Inferno. I saw Green Inferno in 2013.
Uh-huh.
And, it had some troubles getting released. I think the original studio didn't have their money to release it or something. I forget what happened, but... So it's been delayed a bit, but that's finally coming out. I really like that a lot.
Does it compare a lot to the original Cannibal Holocaust? Does it have that kind of a feel to it?
It has that, definitely has that feel, but it's more, I don't want to say tamer, but it's just more kind of accessible. I think it's a really good entry point.
Mm-hmm.
Never seen any of those kind of movies.
Yeah.
I would say, this is the one to watch, and if you can stomach it and you think it's cool, then go with, the Cannibal Holocaust, Cannibal Ferox kind of ones that are, far more extreme. I think it's cool what Eli did was sort of making this, sort of gateway movie to this subgenre that obviously has never had the sort of, wide mainstream release like this.
Yeah, it and really, you know, down to it too, like the real world aspect of it. It is a pretty scary subgenre to try to delve into, because that's something, you know, it's a situation that, you know, anybody could, you know, find themselves in. You know, not every house is haunted and not every town has a Michael Myers, but if you got the money, you can go out in the middle of the jungle and get into some trouble. You know what I mean? Well, your website, man, have you ever thought about doing, like a book or anything, like doing something like that, where you just kind of publish all your different reviews and do it into a book? Cause it's pretty cool.
I'm finishing up a book now. But it's not just like a year's worth of the reviews, like straight up. Cause I mean, they're available for free. And if I'm going to do a book, you know, like, it's going to cost money and I'm not going to charge people to buy what they can read for free. So what I do is I took all the reviews from when I was doing the site daily, so the 2,500 movies that I watched in a row. Mm-hmm. And I sort of kind of weeded through, and I took out all the crappy ones, and I took out all the like forgettable ones, and I took out all the really famous ones. And what I do is I came up eventually with 365, you know, sort of cool, you know, maybe they're not like perfect movies, but they're all interesting and they're all worth seeing. Mm-hmm. And they're not probably ones you've all seen yet. I mean, there's a few in there, like Let the Right One In, which, you know, I know like hardcore horror fans have mostly seen, but general horror fans maybe not, because it's foreign or they just saw the remake or whatever.
Yeah.
Mostly it's like obscure stuff and, you know, direct to video, independent, all those sort of things. You know, I didn't want to be like, you should watch The Exorcist, because, well, no shit.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen The Exorcist yet, you don't need me to tell you that, you know?
Yeah.
You know that you've missed it. But you don't know that you haven't seen, you know, like, say, I'm trying to think, you know, Sauna. Right? You know, Sauna is this really cool, like Russian, Finland supernatural movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that like, you know, you ask 100 horror fans if they've seen it, maybe one has, you know. So I wanted to like kind of weed out and find all those kind of entries. So I picked all those out, and then the book is like a little excerpt from the original review. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of give context, and then it's like an addition to the review, or it's like what I feel about the movie now. Like a couple of movies in there I didn't like when I first saw them, and the review that's on the site reflects that. But now I'm like, no, you know what, I watched this again and it turns out it's got more going on than I realized, and you should check it out, you know. So I've been working on that for a while. It's kind of slow going, you know, for the same reason I had to stop doing the site in the first place. I just didn't have as much time anymore for this sort of stuff. But really cool. I mean, it's all written. I'm just kind of revising it now and cleaning it up, making sure everything's all, you know. Since I started writing it 2 years ago, I just kind of update all the references. You know, sometimes I'm like, you know, the most recent Paranormal Activity movie, Part 4, and, you know, it's like, well, no, there's been, you know, there's another one since then. There'll be another one even after that by the time it comes out. So I'm just fixing all that sort of stuff up and,
well, there's nothing. There's
appeased on the ass.
Yeah, there's nothing, you know, wrong with that either. I mean, there's enough horror movies out there. It's kind of hard to stay on top, especially on the independent thing, when you got like Netflix and everything else that stream them. You know, there's movies coming out, it seems like every day. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, you know, like Netflix and Amazon Prime, it's like they just throw all these hundreds of titles at you, and you just, you know, you end up spending like a half hour kind of scrolling around looking for something to watch. And, you know, you can't tell just from the box art if it's going to be worth your time. And so, just, you know, hopefully it's, you know, there's a movie for every day of the year, basically. And so the idea was that, like, the kind of the inspiration was people that would like just tweet me like, hey, I want to watch a horror movie, which I watch, like, how the fuck should I know? I don't know what you've seen, like, I don't know what you like, what I mean. So now I don't have to answer that anymore. I just have to say buy my book, because whatever day it is, there's an answer right there. selfish, really.
Yeah,
I'm give me $5. So for $5, you're gonna find out if you like three movies. I think it's worth what you spend on.
Well, yeah, and obviously too. I mean, hell, man, I can honestly say I don't know if I know anybody who has seen more horror movies than yourself in this. For the sake of you know, just pure numbers, do you have you had a year, you know, in your numbers that you reviewed the same movie twice?
No, there was one time I started watching a movie, and after like 20 minutes, I realized I had already seen it under a different name. It was a foreign film,
mm-hmm.
and I was like watching like the translated one, and like I forget. Finally, just realized like, oh wait, no, I have seen this. And like sometimes it just seems kind of familiar, you know. I mean, there's 100 movies with, you know, that start off with six kids in a minivan or an SUV, kind of going off to the woods on spring break or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And so like they did all of that stuff thrown together, but I never actually like ended up like getting through the whole movie and writing the review and then realizing, oh shit, I saw it. Yeah, well, except for Return to Horror High, because I decided that, you know, at some point I decided that I'd quit on the first movie I watched. I'd go back and watch it again.
Yeah.
So that's the only one.
Do you, you know, you mentioned the upcoming Crimson Peak and then the wide release of Green Inferno. Is there something that is coming out in the fourth quarter of the year that has you super excited, whether it be do you have like those stories too, like you have like a Trick or Treat or ABC's a Deaf or you know, they're coming out with that one All Hallows Eve. Do you like those anthology type films?
Yeah, definitely love Trick or Treat. You know, the ABCs and, you know, VHS and those, you know, like a lot of anthologies are kind of hit and miss, you know, especially mm-hmm. the ABCs, you know, there's some real great stuff in there, and then there's some real just like, woof.
Yeah.
You know? The VHS, I didn't really like the third one much, but the first two I liked a lot. Two is probably the best one. Trying to think, there's another one. Oh, what the hell was the name of it? Is it Little Death? I think it's called Little Death. It's a British anthology,
mm-hmm.
From a couple of years ago, and that one was really cool. I like that one a lot. And that was one other one that I enjoyed. Trick or Treat, I mean, you know, Trick or Treat's all from one guy, so just the consistency and everything kind of, you know, weaving it in and out of each other, I thought really worked well. There's one coming out called Tales of Halloween.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be similar. I mean, it's all different filmmakers. It's like, I think there's like 10 or 11 directors.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, as far as I know, they all kind of exist in the same world. And, you know, my characters will kind of drift in and out of each entry. So, yeah, I think that'll be like a nice success there to Trick or Treat.
Yeah, the Tales from Halloween, it looks pretty cool. The thing about the anthology film, too, I guess, is if you're starting out, you know, for the sake of the ones that are multiple directors, it's obviously a good foot in the door if you get asked to contribute to one of those films. Do you, you know, moving on to like, you know, TV too, because now horror nowadays, man, you could almost do like a different horror themed TV episode a day and review a horror episode from a different series a day, because I mean horror right now is more prevalent on television than it is even really in the film. I mean, back in the day there was like Twilight Zone and Night Gallery, stuff like that, but I mean it's everywhere now with Walking Dead, Fear of the Walking Dead, American Horror Story. It's all over the place. Do you have a favorite TV show?
I really like Walking Dead's had something now. I think they're finally kind of pretty much on track. It's been really like the last season a lot. American Horror Story, I like the first two a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Murder House and the Asylum, I liked. But I didn't love the Coven one.
Yeah.
And then Freakshow, I never even finished. It was so bad. I guess I'll give. The nice thing about that is that it resets every year, so you don't have to like watch a season you don't like just to keep up with the story.
Different.
So. I guess I'll give Hotel a shot when it's on. Strain's okay. It's not the greatest show in the world, but it's fine. Bates Motel, same thing. I mean, I just kind of watch. I'm trying to think of like one horror one that's like. Oh, Hannibal. I love Hannibal. When's this going to air? It just airs before Saturday. Watch Hannibal.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's kind of over. So. I guess X-Files is coming back with more sci-fi and horror. But.
Yeah, I'll be curious with X-Files because that is, that show when it was first around, there was like nothing compared to it. Besides the X-Files, that was the sci-fi horror TV show. And now I'll be curious. I hope it survives because I love the X-Files back in the day. I hope they do more. As long as it's good, no reason to believe it won't be with Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny both coming back. So, hopefully that it delivers.
I still like Supernatural too. It's kind of drifted away from scary monster type stuff. It's more just kind of like an action show. But
what's going on with that show?
Every now and then, it'll do like a horror episode just to kind of remind you of where it came from.
Where are the brothers at on that show? Because I kind of left that show after a while once it kind of got away from what it originally was. Are they still fighting demons and stuff, or what's going on now?
Yeah, it's all very much about the angels and God and Metatron and all those all those guys. But there'll still be maybe one out of every, say, four or five episodes. Well, they're like, oh, nothing's going on with the angels this week. Look at this. They find that one newspaper article online or something where, just so happens that, an hour drive away, somebody died mysteriously and, it'll be a vampire or whatever the hell. So, for those, it's like, oh, I missed the show and it was like that. But, those two guys, they have such great chemistry together. And really, it's been literally decade that they've been playing them, so that
it's been
settled into those roles, and it's just kind of like comfort food at this point,
It definitely was. I have the box season of season one of that show just because it was season one of that thing was so awesome, where they would go and it was like a different monster every week. It was such a cool show when it first came out.
Yeah, and there wasn't really much of it. The only mythology kind of thing was like they were looking for their dad. That was pretty much still. Now it's like, the complicated, angel and demon stories that they're doing. Pretty much take up the whole season, It's probably right. The end of the world, basically.
I left that show the season where Dean was going to be the body of Michael, or he was the vessel for Michael, and Sam was the vessel for the Antichrist or something like that. I was like begging for a Lady in White episode or a Bigfoot episode at that point. Do you guys, like you were saying, it's festival season coming up as fall is approaching. Do you guys do any kind of Halloween-esque, haunted houses or anything out there where you're at?
They have like Universal and Knott's.
Oh, very cool. So you're in L.A. now. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so And then, you know, there's plenty of, like, local, you know, do-it-yourself kind of haunted houses. Like, Blumhouse, I'm not sure if they're doing it this year, but they've had, in downtown L.A., they've had, like, they have this old building that they kind of deck out and turn into, like, a haunted maze type thing. I didn't get to any last year because of the baby. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping I can at least get to one or two this year. Now he's a little older and, you know, like, not that we could take him, but right, you know, maybe, right. like, it'll be easier to find a sitter or something
yeah.
like that, you know?
The, Yeah, our whole crew, yeah, man. We go down to L.A. every year for the Halloween Horror Nights at Universal, especially this year with Michael Myers being there.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time I went. I think it was not the year before I had my baby, the year before that, I think was the last time. I think I had missed it the year before we had the baby, and obviously I missed it last year. We were going to go to the Orlando one. With the year, it was 2013.
Mm-hmm.
We were actually going, my wife and I were going to Orlando anyway for a trip. And I looked at the date for Halloween, it was November 2nd, but they were still open until November 2nd. The date, that was the year they had American Werewolf and Cat in the Woods mazes. I was like, oh, holy shit, this would be awesome.
Yeah.
Our flight got delayed. There was I think it was a shooting.
Oh, man.
And it kind of like delayed all the flights all day. So by the time we actually got to Orlando, it was like, 10 o'clock at night or something. I was like,
yeah,
oh, man.
Yeah, that's crappy. That I think, you know, just being the nerd that I am, watching the different stuff from the Orlando side. That yeah, that would have been a cool year to go.
Yeah.
L.A. You know, there's so much, you know, to that city. Is there a cool haunted house, like you were talking about the independent ones, that you guys have ever gone to? Because that's like that's the thing.
I haven't been to it. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember the damn name of it right now, but it's like Delusion or something. It's like an interactive, like, play slash haunted house kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And I guess it's not happening this year, but it's coming back next year, because now they'll have their own permanent space.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish I could remember the name for sure. I want to say it's Delusion or something like that. And then another one I can't quite remember the name of. Sorry, I'm so bad with names lately. Blackout. It's just called Blackout.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's one, like, you have to sign a waiver.
Yeah.
They do weird stuff too. I was kind of curious about that. The Blumhouse one that they did. Let's see, what year did the first Purge come out?
God, man, that's gotta be, like 2000.
They did a Purge on that year, so the year before, so I guess it'd be 2012, they did like they took this building downtown and they changed it, and said it was like an old theater, like a mm-hmm. magician's theater, and he had like, you know, he caught his wife cheating on him or something, so he killed them, he killed himself, and he burned the place up or something. So they, like, take you through the story and, like, you know, it's, like, the typical haunted house shit. It was really cool. It was really, like, elaborate and, you know, it was, like, a 40-minute maze. So I'm like, all right, you get your money's worth out of this. Because those, like, the Universal ones, like, you wait in line for them for, you know, 40, 50 minutes. And,
oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, you walk around the whole thing and then you're out 3 minutes later. I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're fun, but if you don't have those front of the line passes, it kind of... kind of feels like, you know, a lot of investment of your time for a little payoff.
Yeah, that is very, very true.
I did get to see the Insidious 2 maze that they did. They did Insidious 2 as one of them.
Yeah.
And after the premiere of the movie, they took us into it. Because they had the premiere at the theater that's at Universal.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't even, like, fully ready yet, but you got to kind of walk through and see what it was like. So that's the last time I went on anything.
Yeah, the scenic that Universal does is pretty hard to beat as far as the attention to detail and everything they do. It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Do you, with your... your book coming out, what is the title going to be, man?
It's very creatively called Horror Movie A Day, the book.
No.
I was like, I figure the site's been not updated frequently now for 2 years. You know, I mean, originally I was trying to get the book out that year, but just like I didn't even come close. So it's like, I can't do anything different because I need to tie it into the site so we don't remember. So it has to be kind of simple. So I was like, how do we do the book? Fine.
Very cool, dude.
The cool thing is that we have a lot of good art for it. My friend JB did a cover for it that's really good. And each of the chapters, you know, it's broken up by months. So each 12 chapters has a different artist. So, you know, it's all the chapters are all me getting killed in various ways. So it's pretty fun. I'm hoping that the art will make up for my lack, my lame ass title.
And when again are you expecting it to be able to come out?
I'm hoping by the end of the year. I mean, it's going to be an e-book. We're going to try to look into a print one eventually, but for this year it'll just be, you know, for your Kindle or your iPad or whatever. My editor is Meredith from Birth of Louis' Death, and they're all currently swamped with like Fantastic Fest and all that stuff. So she won't be available until like mid-October or something like that. So I'm basically just hoping to get it ready to give to her exactly then, so she can, you know, do her editor thing and hopefully have it out, you know, a month or so after that. I'm just very particular about, like today I spent most of the day making sure, because I found, somehow I found that there was an open parenthesis somewhere in a book that didn't have a closed parenthesis, and so I like weeded through the damn thing looking for the freaking missing parenthesis. Shit like that is what keeps the book from being delayed from coming out on time.
Hey man, that's an important thing, is attention to detail for sure. It kind of lets people know how much you care about it, you know. But anyway, Brian, thank you very much for coming on the show. Check out his website, ahorrormovieaday.com. And sounds like we're all going to be able to start off, hopefully, 2016 with his book, A Horror Movie a Day. The book will give you something when you're searching for something to watch. Crack that bad boy open, and there you go. There it is for your day. But thank you, man, for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So again, a big thank you to Brian Collins, and make sure everybody checks out his website, ahorrormovieaday.com. And yeah, a couple quick reviews before we get out of here this week. I saw The Gallows. I thought The Gallows was very well done for what it was. It reminded me a lot of watching a YouTube video of like a HHN haunted house. There was a couple of startles in there. Like I said, for what they had to work with, I thought they did a really good job, actually. I don't think it was terrifying, but at the other side of the coin, I don't think it was near as dog shit as what some people are saying that it is. A lot of people are saying it's not any good. I disagree. I think it is a decent film. I don't think it's the best horror movie of the year by far, but I do think it is a pretty good movie for what they had to work with. And it's a good story. The third act got a little strange. It seemed like they were reaching a little bit. But, you know, that seems to be kind of the norm. But, yeah, man, I thought it was a good movie. The other one I watched is Final Girl, not to be confused with The Final Girl, which is getting all kinds of reviews. This one was Abigail Breslin, a revenge movie that, is interesting. The second half of the second act and the third act are definitely full of action. It was interesting to see what the director thinks DMT does to you, or the writer or whoever. Not necessarily what DMT does to you for that extended amount of time, but yeah, it was an interesting one. If I had to pick one over the other, if they were facing off against each other, probably go with The Gallows, honestly, if you had to pick between one or the other. the Gallows, I would probably choose a little bit more than Final Girl. And with that, getting into what's coming up. Vicky Sin and I return on the Witching Hour. We thought we were going to do it last week, but time just got away from us. We are back this week. I'm actually about to record the episode with her pretty quick to this afternoon. That'll be later this week, dealing with spirit photography and ghosty stuff. And then, I don't know if it'll be later this week or early this weekend or something, but Nicole and I, and possibly Kevin, will be getting back together to record the Haunting preview show for October. We will be reviewing this year the big three, Fright Fest from Six Flags, Knott's Scary Farm, and Halloween Horror Nights on the West Coast, not necessarily the East. But so three big events we're going to, and probably some smaller ones along the way too we will get to check out. But we'll be previewing those three, Six Flags, Fright Fest, Knott's Scary Farm, and we will be previewing all three Halloween Horror Nights events, Hollywood, Orlando, and Singapore. So saddle up for that. That'll be a fun episode for you to listen to later on this week, probably. And with that, man, I have one last thing I would like to play in honor of Wes Craven. Again, you know, the horror world is not as good without you. And rest in peace, Mr. Craven. And we will see you later this week for a Witching Hour and the Halloween Haunt preview.